good singing all the way around, so we're glad to be able to enjoy the good songs of Zion together. You fellas got something y'all want to say? Not tonight? All right. Well, it never hurts to check. You had that wish I could sing look on your face. All right, the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter number 12. We'll be looking there for a few moments if we could. In the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. All right, verse number 12 and verse number 13. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there in this chapter and we'll look there at a couple of passages here tonight. Verse 12, wherefore lifting up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bless, I pray, every man, woman, and boy and girl. We want to thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on hanging hands and feeble knees. Now, when you begin to look into this lesson here, you're going to find out the last time over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and about verse number 8, that God lifted us up out of the dust and off of the dunghill of this world that we're living in. And not only are we saved by the grace of God, but he put a song in our heart, which is praise and thanksgiving unto God. Let me tell you something, if you're saved tonight and you're singing the songs of Zion, you ought to be walking with God in the word of the Lord and have a welcomeness that's about you. You know, the Bible said that you and I, that we ought to be thankful not only for how good God's been, but whatever God's doing. And make no mistake about it, is that the Bible said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, every now and again, we look like we need a dose of medicine. But I got to tell you right up front is that if you know the Lord and you've been saved and you're hell proof and heaven bound, you ought to be happy about the Lord and what he's done for you. Now, by the way, it's not always, and I'm not talking about one of these people that are phony and phonyism and all of that. I just as soon not hear that, you know. You meet somebody on the street, you know, and they're all, "How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just..." Oh, that's fine. If that's your little boat, you float it. But make no mistake about it, it just sounds a little phony, if you will, please, and it does unto me. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you're not happy in the Lord, then you need something fixed somewhere. I'm not talking about you need saving, but you might need saving, but you certainly need something fixed or not. Do you realize to know that those that are lame, those that are crippled may be turned out of the way by the fact that we are sitting there and, I don't know, just kind of going through the motion? I want to tell you something, is that this is a real thing, being washed by the blood, being born again into the family of God, being a child of the King. That's a real thing that you and I can't put our finger on. I want to say to you, there's an awareness here that in this chapter that we're looking at, and let me say to you that, if you will, what the awareness is that we ought to be in step with God. If you're out of step with God, you're going to receive chastening of the Lord. That's not a joyous time. But let me say to you that, if you will, that sin will rob you of your joy, and it'll make you feel weak. It'll make you feel no joy equals no string. And that's what he's talking about. If you've got hands hanging down and you got feeble knees and so forth and on. You know, if you got feeble knees, and we'll say something about it later, but you won't be able to stand up straight. You won't need to be able to walk straight or very far because you've got a feebleness about you. Listen, you won't be able to take a stand. You won't be able to stand the right for the right thing, head the right direction, because of the fact is that you're not aware that there's somebody somewhere that's more important than just what you and I are involved in this world we're living in. Let me say to you that, if you will, is that there's a lot of people that can't be able to have joy in the Lord because of the fact that they're worried about everybody else. The words, "How come you're not a happy Christian?" Well, you know, I can't be happy and go to church and know this person and that person and all that. You know what your problem is? Your problem is not walking with God, you're walking with somebody else on your mind. Now, I can tell you right now, there's not a perfect person in this building outside of me. I know you feel that way too about yourself. Let me tell you, there's never been but one that could walk upon the water. There's never been but one when you cried, Lord, help me, that could reach down and pick you up and let you walk back to the ship with him like he did with Simon Peter. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that, and I realize, no, some days we've got a good day and some days we've got a bad day because we're living in the flesh. And we're going to live with the flesh and in the flesh until Jesus comes again. And as a result of that, it's not what you're going through that my problem is. It's only my problem if I need to get my eyes off my problem that's real. You see, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, there ought to be some kind of an awareness. You know that the Bible said that you're to pray for your enemies? That's a hard for me to do. Oh, I pray for them. Kill them, Lord. Bust them up. Rip their heart out, their heads off. That's why they're praying about you. But you know that gets you nowhere and it does nothing for you whatsoever. What you have to end up doing is that if you end up praying and you pray like the Lord intends for you, you're going to have to pray for them that despitefully use you. Now, that's not one of my better suits. I'm just going to confess to you right up front. Do I want it to be? Well, I say I do, but I probably don't, or I'd do something more about it. I see some of you got that problem. You see, what we look at is that there's an awareness that God saved us. It ought to be the most joyous time in our life. But as you begin to look into it, you're going to find out there's not only an awareness here, you're going to find out we've got to acknowledge something about our transgressions. Over there in the book of Psalm, chapter 32, do not lose your place here, but in Psalm 32, there's a passage over there that we ought to look at. Psalm 32, in about verse number 5 and 6, here's what he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. As surely the floods of the great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. I want to say to you that the psalmist said, I'm not hiding sin. I'm not trying to hide it. I'm trying to confess it. I'm trying to forsake it. I'm trying to acknowledge that I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. Now, I want you to notice that, if you will, please, in this lesson that's here, you're either going to confess it and forsake it, or you're going to get chastened by the Lord for correction. You know, if you're a child of God, he's not just going to let it slide. You and I see other people up and down the road getting by with this and that, and first lying, cheating, conniving, fornicating, adultery, drinking, liquor, and all of that business there, and it just seems like they go untouched. They're not going to go untouched. Here's what God said, that if they can do that and they be without chastisement, then you're bastards and you're not a son, according to the book of Hebrews. I got to say to you that, if you will, if you're a child of God, don't think for one minute you're going to get by with whatever the rest of the world's going by. I want to tell you something, is that you can't con God. You just can't. Have you ever noticed there's so much phonyism in the day and hour that we're living in? I want to tell you something. You better be humble before the Lord. You better be honest with the Lord. And let me tell you what ends up happening is that sin will make you feel feeble. It'll make you feel weak. It'll make your hands hang down. It'll make your knees begin to, you can't take a stand anywhere because of the fact that you've got a weakness there. Let me say to you, sin in your life has a damaging effect to you. And not only is it going to affect you and your heart and your mind, but it'll affect those around about you. It'll affect the family. It'll affect your friends. It'll just affect you to where you're not in fellowship with God and being able to walk with God. You know, if you were to take the average cell phone away from the average Christian, they'd be nuts before morning passed. I mean, it's really, that's true. I said that now wondering what's on mine is, no, I don't even have it in here with me. And I don't bring it in. I don't want bill collectors trying to text me or send me nasty notes wanting their money. I don't really have anybody like that, but I'm sure that they probably... There's a lot of scam people out there. I mean, who do I know in Wyoming? Nobody. I got a text today from somebody. It was calling, ringing, ringing, ringing. I thought, oh, I wonder who that is wanting me from Wyoming. I got to tell you, I don't know who it was. I just go ahead and hang up on them and all that business there. If they want me to vote for Kamala, the election's already over with. We have a president-elect that's already ready to go. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that what we do is that we've got too much concern about everything going on in this world except what the Lord God of glory's got going on, and that's where we're messing up. The psalmist said, I'm going to acknowledge my transgression. I'm not going to try to hide it. I'm going to acknowledge it. All right, number three is, let me say to you, is that you're going to have to be able to realize is that and accept God's correction. I want to ask you this here. Do you want to fight with God or be in fellowship with Him? That's the question. And let me tell you right now is if you want to fight, He'll fight with you, but you won't win. In fact, you're going to be a little more than bunged up a little, beat up a little. Make no mistake about that. You know, down through the years, I've seen preachers, mainly their testimony, where they decided they're just going to go ahead and quit preaching altogether and try to get them a good paying job, something with a good retirement, something and all that. And they walked out on God doing that, but they came limping back in trying to get straightened out. Now, I will say to you that, if you will, that not every time something happens to us is God chastening or correcting us, but I can tell you what we better do. We better accept the holiness of God and being in harmony with God and how good that it is to be in agreement with the Lord. I don't know, you've heard me say over and over again that I've had more than one argument with God. I know some of you probably have too. I don't recommend it. It makes you feel worse than bad, and plus you're going to lose. He's going to keep loving you after it's all said and done, but boy, I'll tell you, it takes a whole lot of the wind out of your sails. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in this lesson there's an appearance chain. You know what purity does? It promotes good posture. I remember whenever I was growing up and sitting in school, you know, one of the big things that the teacher had is that they wanted you to have good posture. Sit up, quit slouching. This and that. And you need to have good posture if you want to look good. And I thought the whole time that she's not looking good to me. She must have not practiced good posture when she was a kid growing up. I had one teacher, you know, her name was Miss Schultz, in case you're wondering if it's real or not. Sure, it was real. I'd skip a class or two. Don't try that at home, by the way, or in school either. Don't be a fool. Stay in school. And anyway, and she, it'd be like this right here. Well, Dennis, you wasn't here yesterday. Well, I guess I was, Miss Shields. You didn't put me down. If you're not going to even recognize that I'm showing up for class, why should I even worry about showing up again? Was you here for sure? And I said, well, I'm here now. Don't that count for something? I got to say to you, I feel bad about it, kind of, but... I realize, hey, like some of you, and I do not want to be a damper on you. I'm glad you love school. I'm glad you like school, that you want to be involved in school. I hated every minute of it. From the time I started until I was able to get loose, I hated every minute of it. I'm glad I can read, but I hate reading. I can read pretty fast, as you well know. Sometimes I need to cover a lot of ground in a bit of a hurry. I talk fast. I think fast. I can read pretty fast, but I hate reading. And let me tell you right now is that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that there ought to be some purity that promotes in your life, good posture, that if you will, please. And we ought not just be running through life, dragging through life, you know, and trying to do the best we can. How you doing? Well, I'm here. Well, you ought to be glad that you can be here instead of being in a hospital somewhere. I want to say that, if you will, please, is that every now and again we're out of step. We just need to get back in step and back on track with Him. I was thinking about, you know, the Bible said over in Hebrews in chapter number 12, it's about verse number 13, that we're to make straight paths for your feet. That's the reason why over there in the book of Proverbs, over there in Proverbs in chapter number 4, in fact, let's turn there just real quickly. Don't lose your text, but let's turn over there in Proverbs in chapter number 4, is that what we ought to do is we ought to ponder the path of our feet. Did you ever just stop and look and see verse 23 of chapter 4, and here's what he said. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, and put far from thee, and let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, or remove thy foot from evil. We ought not to be following God like we drive. You know, every now and again, my wife, buddy, she jumps like we're all of a sudden we're going to hit something. And I know, I feel, you know, I feel it about the time I hit them spots that rumble on the road. You know, one way they got it in the middle and they got it on the side. You know, that's for people that are driving that are blind. I mean, how else are they going to tell? Oh, well, you know. I mean, it's pretty easy. It's pretty simple. If you're driving down the road and all of a sudden right there and you tell you're vibrating to the right, you need to go back to the left just a little bit. If you get going, if you feel it in the middle, you need to go back to the right just a little bit. I said all that to be able to say this is that God said we ought to ponder the path of our feet and see where we're going, who we're going with, and what we're going for. In this lesson here, you'll find that we keep our eyes straight on Him. If we'll keep our eyes in the right direction on Him, it'll be in the right place on the path as we follow Him. And we'll be back on track. This Bible said over there in the book of Psalm chapter 25 and about verse number 15 that we're to keep our eyes upon the Lord. And I'll tell you something. He'll keep us out of the net and out of trouble. And our knees that are feeble and that wobble, we'll be able to stand up straight and strong when the fight is on. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when our faith is weak, you'll walk with God, it'll strengthen you in the inner man. You know, this Bible said over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 4, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I've been saved and I'm hell-proof and I'm heaven-bound. There's a healing process that takes place. Over there in the book of 2 Chronicles, you got to turn there, but in chapter number 7, about verse number 14, is that you'll find out that if we'll look unto Him and acknowledge Him. Do you realize, you know, that forgiveness is an instant thing, but healing takes a little time. Some of these things that we're looking at, and by the way, some things is that we fail to realize and know that sin will mar your life. Somebody was telling me one time, they said, well, you know, God is able to forgive anything and everything. Well, that may be true, but that may be in an instant if you've messed up and you've done wrong. You can get instant forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that. What if you lost a limb because of whatever you were involved in? You're not going to grow another limb back. That's going to ever remind you of what you should have been and what you should have done. I got to tell you right now, and this is, I know you're the choir. We're preaching to the cream of the crop. I know that. But I got to tell you right now, one of these days, we're all going to stand before the Lord. And some of us are going to give an account to God with a greater accountability than others will. By that, I want to tell you, I'm going to give a greater account because I've got to give an account for me and for you. You are going to have to give an account for yourself, for your spouse, for your family, if so be. You've got that. But I'm not going to give an account to God for what I know. I'm going to give an account to God for what I should have known. And I got to tell you right now is that's something, isn't it? I don't want to stand before the Lord. Shame on you, Dennis. You read 3 chapters in your Bible, your whole ministry. That's a lot of chapters, though, if it's a long one. You ever do, it's something I never have liked, and that's you know, you get one of these preachers or one of these conferences, and they want to beat you over the head about your daily Bible reading. Then they know exactly how many verses you ought to be reading. And then you can go up and ask one of them about a certain passage, and they don't have a clue what it means. Well, I thought you just said you just read that. You see, you can read one verse and digest what it says and be a lot better than if you read several verses and don't know what any of them said. See that? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's what the psalmist said, and that's a good thing to practice. I wonder tonight, isn't it good to be saved, to know the Lord? Do you feel a little feeble in your knees, weak in your faith? Well, it'd be nice if you'd ponder the path of your feet and where you're going, who you're going with, and just get in fellowship with God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. We thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Now bless, I pray, every family represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. We'll thank you.